All right, sweet,
Nice one.
already. I don't know if you listen to any of these, but basically, I just don't bother doing an introduction and just I start like the. It starts like when it starts, so like
I
when.
think I've only ever heard your ones with like the BritBreast ones, I think. I'm not
Yeah.
sure if I've heard just like straight up show ones.
Yeah, I normally do this with Akil, but like he hates wrestling at the moment.
Yeah, I don't
I
blame
think we
him.
all do, to be fair. So
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, it'd be nice to talk about something
I
fun.
fully unfollowed like everyone I could that wasn't like someone I met that was like a person in real life. That like so if it was a company or something, it's not even out of like any hate to everyone because some of them are good dudes and that like that I unfollowed, but I just can't be asked to have that actively, to be honest. I main reason I had them like and I was following them was just because like sometimes I did, especially early on when I first wanted to go to shows, I didn't know where anything was, so I would just follow like any like company that did a show and just see if like I saw tickets for something. And but yeah, I don't need all that
Yeah, he's kind of plugged in a little bit more.
now. Yeah,
There's
exactly.
I unfollowed a whole bunch of people, just some of them because they've had allegations against them, and some because I
Course.
was like, well, they probably will,
Yeah, I get that.
which is
I get that.
it's not ideal, is it?
No, not at all. Hopefully not in the sense of like no one's being hurt. Not so much hopefully because they're a wrestler or something.
Yeah, I follow like I think it's like four or five wrestlers now. The rest of them I've just got rid of them.
Yeah,
Just binned them off.
I think I kept like Kevin Owens and
Oh
someone
yeah,
else,
he's a good
right? Not.
dude. Yeah.
But I think yeah, I might have kept Sammy mainly just because he talks politics anyway. He's quite funny like that.
Yeah, I
But
kept
yeah.
Kev because he donated to Larry Zonka's family after he died.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about that, mate. Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, that was. Obviously, I had no connection there, but that was sad. I see you was upset, and I don't
Yeah,
like seeing
no,
you
it was
upset.
a
You know what I mean?
it's a very solid move from Kevin. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
So
what a diamond.
yeah, he's a geezer. So I made you watch this Hustle show. Had you ever seen anything from Hustle
No,
before? Was this like
I didn't know what it was. But what I did notice is like I started recognizing a lot of people because of Pride. So obviously the guy who runs it
yeah.
was like the main like bad guy or whatever in the
Yeah.
story. Even though obviously I couldn't really follow it that well because they weren't speaking English or whatever. But
Yeah.
yeah, I gathered enough of it that he was telling everyone off.
So the company that owned Hustle was the same company that owned Pride.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
So
I would have
that's why
thought
you see
so.
all the Pride dudes
Yeah, when I like the
wrestling there.
more people that came out, the more I was like, all right, yeah, this is yeah, okay, this makes sense. Like same sort of like setting, same sort of people. I was like, yeah, they definitely brought them in. And I, it was weird because back when I was super heavy into MMA, like I still like it, but I don't have the. It's kind of like what's happening with wrestling. In the sense, not as in like there's bad people, but like I've sort of distanced myself a bit because I know enough now, like I'm tapped in enough that I don't need to sort of follow every second of it.
Yeah.
So,
There can be some
yeah,
really
like
toxic people in both
oh yeah,
communities, so it's.
when I first started going on to like MMA stuff when I was younger, like I was probably the toxic one to be honest. I was probably a right idiot. I don't really remember, but I remember MMA forum and thinking, oh, this is bad. Like there's bad like. These people are terrible.
Yeah.
It was probably just people trolling. I remember forums used to be way worse, like back in the day, like and I didn't really go on a lot of them, but they were a different kind of like, they were a different kind of place. They were sort of, even though they were open, they were a forum. They were quite hidden compared to like everything else. Like now with Twitter or something, everyone's talking constantly, but you'd have to go find this and sign in and keep the browser open all day to find out what was going on. So it was a bit different. And yeah, them places were always a bit dark. But yeah, sorry. I used to be super into like MMA, and but I never noticed the wrestling connection then for some reason. Like I just didn't really pay attention to it. I think I was sort of around that age where I was like, oh well, I don't really like wrestling. Like I had that sort of couple years there where I was being a bit of a weirdo, and then I finally realized like that I always liked wrestling. And I got back into it, so I kind of missed out on a lot of cool stuff like that. I'm sure I would have enjoyed Hustle like
At
properly
the time,
back
yeah.
then, yeah,
What
for sure.
when it first start was on, it was really popular to begin with, and the first like four shows were like readily available. So I bought the first four shows from whoever my tape trader was at the time. Tape
Oh,
trader,
okay,
that's how
yeah.
long ago it was. But
Oh, that's mad. Yeah, that's kind of cool, though. I do love tapes, so that's pretty
yeah,
cool. That's
I've still got them somewhere. They'll be in a box in the attic. But
kind of cool.
yeah, but Hustle 5, which is the show that we watched here, this was like the start of it not getting picked up so much, because I think people had realized that it was a bit weird.
I think like there was something about like I don't know if it was so much just then, but there's definitely this thing with like Japanese promotional type stuff, other than the ones that have stayed around forever, where they love like sort of dropping like three big shows really quickly and then kind of dying out. Like they always, I remember when like Dream first started, it was like felt massive for like a second, and then it wasn't that it stopped, it just wasn't as big after a couple shows kind of thing.
Well, I
So it
think with
sounds kind
Hustle,
of like what happened with
they had a
Hustle.
lot of money to start with, and I get the feeling it was like Dream Stage sort of thought that they could do like this big wrestling spin-off to associate with Pride, so that they could cross
We could use
produce
both,
and
yeah, for
yeah, and
sure.
it'd be like a big hit. And the crowds were there initially, and I don't know if it's thought that they didn't enjoy it or whether the company just kind of gave up on it, but it's very noticeable that the crowds were big for the first four shows and then dropped off
Yeah,
a little bit.
out here washing some money on the low. Nah,
Yeah, maybe. I
nah,
mean, Dream
what I
Stage doesn't
noticed
exist
about it,
anymore, so you can say what you want about it.
what I noticed about it was like, there was definitely for me anyway, seeing it 15 or so years later, there was definitely something about it that felt a bit ahead of its time in the sense of like they were trying to make it like a show, like in between stuff, and not like as in kind of like how Lucha Underground ended up being like a show. I feel like they were probably sort of tapping into something there, like where they were doing skits and scenes where
Yeah.
it was all acted and that. Like obviously it didn't end up being like that heavily produced, like something like
Yeah.
Lucha Underground was all them years later. But I could see the sort of the lane they were trying to go down a little bit.
It's very much a parody of what WWE was doing. So that's how it started out. It was like, well, we basically want to do Austin McMahon, but
Yeah, it
we're
makes
just going to
sense.
do it in like a daft Japanese way. So instead of
Yeah.
the guy being like a corporate suit, the bad guy is literally a
Was like a
general.
dictator,
And he has an
for
actual
sure.
army. It's a very Japanese version of what sports entertainment is.
Yeah, there
Oddly
was
enough, I
definitely
enjoy
a
it a
lot of
lot
it that I
more.
could see that they were on the right track with some bits. I could see why people would have enjoyed it, especially then where like there wasn't a lot, even though like you say it was a parody, there still probably wasn't a lot like it, like because it was quite silly in a lot of ways, and I didn't mind that.
Yeah, a lot of it really works really well. The Steve Austin of this reality is Nagoya Agawa, who was like a big judo star.
Yeah, as soon as I saw him, I was like, I know him. I see him fight a couple of times back in the day. I knew who he was. I've even one of my notes somewhere is he fought Fedor, but that's all I wrote. I was like, okay.
So we're kind of introduced to him on this show, doing the whole Mr. America thing that Hulk Hogan did when he had the comeback.
Yeah. So I thought so. That was quite funny. Yeah, I
Yeah, it's
was like,
very
where are they
weird.
going with this? And then yeah, I noticed that it was quite. Yeah, it was definitely that Hogan one, right? Yeah, Mr.
So they're
America,
basically saying
Captain America type.
he's that guy. He's like their main dude. But it's really weird because like they've kind of crossed over a lot with it. So Ogawa is the only guy they've got. So Ogawa is Austin. He's also The Rock. He's also Hulk Hogan. So like he's basically all of those guys.
I'm glad you said that as a sentence because I was sort of like trying to work out why he was a couple different people myself. But when you say it, yeah, that's great. I
Yeah,
like that, to be
they
honest.
just don't have the depth of personnel that WWE had. So it's, yeah, it's kind of all over the place. Also, you kind of missed out on Shinya Hashimoto because he was kind of a big deal for the first four shows, but like the only thing he does on this show is appear before the show to like do the hustle. So there's him
Yeah, they're all grinding the air and that.
and
Yeah. I wrote, "Oh Lord," after
yeah.
that. I was not expecting that bit, but it was quite funny.
Yeah, they do little, a lot of little dancing bits and pieces, which is
Yeah,
nice.
10 minutes in, we've got Samba, I wrote, because they kept shouting Samba. That was quite good as well.
There is always like a lengthy pre-show process, and don't ask me to explain it because like a lot of it is completely over my head as well.
Yeah, no, it was cool in the sense, like, because I had no expectations for anything. Just when they were still dancing 10 minutes in, I was like, oh, okay, right. Like, when something gets a bit funnier after like a minute, like you sort of let it gradually get longer, and you're like, all right, now I'm laughing again because they're still going. But yeah, it was all right.
It's that Simpsons thing of like, if something's funny, just keep doing it until it stops
Yeah.
being funny, and then just keep doing it until it's funny again.
There's like a, I forget the term, but there is a term for it, and I learned it not long ago, and I've already forgotten it. But yeah, it's pretty much that. Like Family Guy did it a few times with like Peter's knee, where he'd be like screaming and he'd be like in pain, and it would just last like a whole minute. And by the end of it, you're laughing again. So yeah, I can't really remember exactly what the term is, but someone will tell
Yeah, I just persistent.
us.
Whatever. I know what you mean. I get it.
Yeah.
So the first match on this show featured Kaz and Spanky as a tag team. They have basically been in the opener of every single Hustle show to this point. It's almost a joke that it's like, oh, here comes the opening tag with Kaz and Spanky
Oh,
against
okay. I
X.
didn't recognize that. That's cool.
Yeah. So Kaz Hayashi in this period, like, me and Akil have just been gushing over how great he is.
Yeah, they were that I enjoyed like this match, to be fair. It was they were flying about, obviously, like the flying vampires, like the name, but it was quite like high energy. I enjoyed this one, to be fair. To
Yeah.
start a show anyway.
Yeah, they've been pretty good at doing these openers where it's been like they've cycled through various tag teams to wrestle against Kaz and Spanky. They should have a tag team name.
Yeah, it took me like I wrote down like My Heart Will Go On like dance anthem, and I remember laughing. I was actually shit. I know who that guy is. So I had to quickly check, and I was like, "What's Spanky's real name again?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, obviously it's Brian Kendrick."
Yeah.
So yeah,
Well, when
I knew who he was, but his name, like, I'd lost it as I was watching.
he went to Japan, they basically noticed that he looked a lot like Leonardo DiCaprio,
Okay.
and that kind of meant that they marketed him as a sex symbol, basically, and
Oh, Spanky,
all the.
amazing.
So he told me that he was called Spanky because he masturbated a lot.
Oh my God, yo, that's rough. I forget that that's like another term for that, spank. I didn't really, yeah, okay.
But yeah, anyway, he was basically billed as a sex symbol, and hence all the, My Heart Will Go On and all that stuff. That's
And he was
where that
in
came
like
from.
he was like in pink and stuff as well, I think. So yeah, I get that.
I'm not sure who the Flying Vampires are. I asked Twitter, and Mark, I've forgotten his surname, but he's at We All Falter anyway. That Mark, he suggested it's the Brahman Brothers, who did a lot of stuff under hoods for this company. They are really fun to watch. Nowadays they tend to do mainly comedy based stuff, but there's like a mixture here of like sparkly shirts, knockoff brood stuff.
Yeah, no, I noticed like quite early on they started biting a lot, and I was like, obviously they do, but I wasn't really thinking of that when they came out. I was just sort of looking at their like attire and stuff. But yeah, they started doing like biting as their like offense. But yeah, they were good. They were flying about. Like I know it's like I said it a minute ago, it's obviously their name, but they really were. Like there was like a couple times where I was like, oh shit, they've gone flying there again, like just over the top. And I was like, where'd that come from? Right? Because there was always sort of in times where it was quite like it didn't seem like nothing was happening for like 1 second, and then one of them would ping off the ropes and do something mad. And I was bored. Like,
I'm bored. Let's do it.
But yeah, definitely one of the more like, not that I disliked the show, but it was definitely one of the more enjoyable ones because they was all going crazy.
Yeah, I think that's probably either the second or maybe third best match on the show. I think they kind of leaned into the shtick a bit much.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say with the biting, but
yeah, they did the biting quite a lot, yeah, for sure.
So I saw him wrestle on another show just before this, and they were much
there's one. I think I said they used the ropes well. I don't even know why I wrote that, but it must have made sense at the time.
Yeah, and I really like the Kaz and Spanky do this tag team version of the sliced bread as a finish that looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a couple like double moves. I feel they had like some, was it like a, they had like a bulldog as well that was quite good. I can't remember exactly who did it, but yeah. I'm going off of memory and little notes that I've jotted down, so my bad.
Yeah, well, I watched this on the 14th of June, so we are currently on the 26th, so it was almost 2 weeks ago. It's just shit's happened since, so like,
yeah, exactly. I was about 3 days ago now, so, and I've been writing other stuff, so I've got a lot. I should have put it on like a highlight package on like yesterday. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We're going to talk about like the bits in between as well. So that was the opening match, and then we went backstage to check in on Toshiaki Kawada, who was doing a bit of warming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know his young boy is Taichi from New Japan, right?
So no, I'm pretty like clueless to connections like that, so no, I wouldn't have known that. Okay, I think if I've seen anyone from New Japan, especially of late, like I probably only know some of the main names and I'll just watch it, but like I don't really pick up on like some of the, even if they are one of the main names, I probably didn't pick up on it, but I've more than likely seen them.
Yeah, so Taichi was the young boy in his little backstage skit, so he was mm-hmm. there eating food. The dude with the microphone stand and the stripper trousers in New Japan.
Yeah.
Right? So like he's there kind of eating food while Kawada's warming up, and he's upset with him because like when he warms up, he makes like a C shape.
Okay.
Wasn't that
on someone's mask, like a C? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so Kawada was due to wrestle against Mark Coleman and Monster C.
Mm-hmm.
And he really objected to the C shape, so he just kind of kicked him, and then he fell into a K shape on the floor, and then Kawada was happy with that because he's the K.
Okay, see, now that I definitely didn't pick up on. That's actually quite hilarious. All right, cool.
Yeah, he flat out booted him in the spine to correct his posture.
Okay, yes, I definitely didn't notice the lettering bit. That's brilliant. All I wrote was mad Kill Bill looking get ups. That was about it. There was like two of them. I can't remember if there was two of them. Yeah.
Yeah, Kawada. They tried to make him a bit more interesting because like as a wrestler, he's deadly serious and doesn't like mm-hmm. any like clowning around stuff. And so they obviously booked him against Mick Foley with the mandible claw and stuff. So seeing him react to Mr. Socko was a bit wild.
But yeah.
It was like they tried to make him a bit more interesting. So they put him in this. Like you said, the Kill Bill attire, which is the Bruce Lee attire from... I talked about this with Akil last time, and I've completely forgotten the movie it was from.
Okay.
Game of Death, I think it was.
Oh, Game of Death.
Yeah, it's the Bruce. It's the one, like, before he died. The one,
yeah, that would have been
Game of Death. It was halfway through making it, and they basically finished making the film with really obvious...
another person, yeah.
Stunt doubles, another dude in some scenes, and at one stage a cardboard cutout.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, I know about Game of Death a little bit. Like his death was quite. There's a lot of like not just conspiracies, but like weird little stories surrounding that. So I kind of heard about that a lot. It's got what's his name in it, the basketball player, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I watched this one and it was cool because is it Yokoi? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I could tell he was definitely in Pride.
Yes.
And he was a right bastard. right? And I remember thinking that back then, but now it's funny because as soon as he came out and I saw his face, I was like, oh, that he was just working. I didn't realize. I'm out here back in the day thinking he was just super angry and annoyed at everyone, which he probably was a little bit. But then I thought, oh, shit, now I think maybe he was actually just being a bit of a gimmick because everyone knew him in Japan as being a bit of a bastard. Yeah, those
lines were a bit blurry, weren't they? With
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, wrestling and MMA in Japan, the line is a lot closer than it is elsewhere.
It's one of them things to me where, like, where I was so connected to MMA because I was I'm a big boxing fan as a kid, and like obviously I liked wrestling first, and then with boxing, and then I kind of like drew towards MMA, and then I went back to wrestling a little bit. Obviously, I still like all of them in their own way, but it's sort of like my progression of how it went. And I remember like so many MMA fans, especially like specifically UFC fans, but like MMA fans in general. Like, I've been around long enough to know, like certain things. And I was like, the amount of people you can tell that this is probably, like, not a real fight. Like, it's not even that it's not a real fight, but, like, there's something happening here. And they're, like, not having it. Like, and I'm like, mate, please. These guys, they're super well up on this. Like, they know what they're doing. but he's hitting him in the head. I'm like, yeah, go watch, like, anything in Japan where they elbow each other for real. They can do it. It's not that hard. Like, I'm not saying that every fight's some like complete fraud, but the disbelief that anyone could like work a fight is hilarious to me, especially considering all the people that are in this. Like fucking Mark Coleman, as soon as he came out, I was like, yo, I've been watching that guy since I was a kid. So the fact I didn't know he did actual wrestling is kind of weird to me. I probably did, I just never watched it. I just probably heard it in the background, kind of never really paid attention. But it was quite cool because he's got like a lot of like a legit wrestling to him. So he does a lot of like suplex and stuff. And they look pretty sick, to be fair to him. I'm sure he probably could go if he wanted to back then. I'm not sure how he was outside of anything other than this match. But
yeah, I've seen a few Coleman matches. He's pretty decent. I think he kind of dabbled in it. For a payday, as opposed to being serious about making a career out of wrestling. There was quite a lot of them that did that. You kind of look at them and think, oh, they could have made a career out of it, but they just didn't fancy it.
Yeah, there's definitely a few guys over the years that I think, like, people like Kevin Randleman, I don't know if he ever really did it. I'm sure he probably dabbled as well before he passed and that back in the day, but he could really, like, I think he could have went on a, like, Lashley type of vibe, like, being... Like with suplexes and whatnot.
He's incredibly athletic as well, Randleman. So
he's been on a lot of
these early hustle shows. Remind me to send you some other shows because like he's on them, and he looks really good.
He's
inexperienced, but he kind of looks like somewhere between like a Lashley and a like a Shelton Benjamin, because he has that raw athleticism.
That's a good shout.
I think Shelton kind of patterned a lot of his look on what Randleman was doing with the gold standard.
Okay. That's very cool. I wouldn't have known that. Oh, man, honestly, I used to love Randleman. Simply because, like you said, he was kind of inexperienced. I think he did a lot of his stuff just through sheer like athleticism, which I've always quite liked. Like, I've always sort of had a rating for people that sort of, like when I call someone a fighter, as opposed to like, I'm not saying they haven't got good skills or techniques or anything, but there's just something in them that's a bit different. And with Randleman, you could tell like he probably trained a lot like as an athlete, but I reckon if he actually took a lot of those like nuances seriously, he would have picked them up really quickly. But I like the fact that he was quite raw and just sort of did it as it happened.
Yeah. It's kind of a shame that he didn't pursue wrestling, because I think he would have been really good at it.
He would have made some money, especially in Japan, because they already liked him there anyway. So.
Oh, yeah, sure. Coleman here is tagging with Monster C, which is Steve Corino.
Okay, I think you messaged me about that, so I didn't I didn't even remember that until now. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's Steve Corino, but he's wearing a mask, so you're not supposed to know it's Steve Corino, even though everyone knows it's Steve Corino.
Okay.
But it's kind of weird because like it's created this whole thing of like Corino versus Kawada being a feud because he's supposed to be like the evil version of Kawada, so he's kind of doing some of his moves. I never thought I'd be excited by like a Kawada versus Carino feud, but I really enjoy it. They've had a few matches at this point, and they've been fun.
Nice. Yeah, I enjoyed some of, like, there was some of this that I liked that was sort of, like, quote unquote, like, shoot style, like, submissions and, like slams and stuff that you would sort of, you could see in, like, a MMA fight or something. Like, not all of it. There was still a lot of, like, wrestling, but it was quite cool to see them, like, digging in with, like, the elbows and stuff at the beginning and whatnot. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Coleman had to be slightly more serious in this one than his last match in Hustle, where he tagged with Himalayan Bigfoot,
Oh my lord, that
which,
sounds wild.
yeah, it was a dude who didn't really do much in the way of wrestling, sold nothing at all, except when he got double teamed a little bit, and he started selling like he was a wounded animal, like making like noises like
Himalayan Bigfoot,
Himalayan
what a
Bigfoot.
name.
Yeah, it was amazing. That is from Hustle House 2, so that's on YouTube if anyone wants to
Okay,
watch it.
I'll have to check that
It's, yeah, it's
myself.
good shit. So Coleman, like, it was his tag team partner, and like to bring him to the ring, he's got him on a chain, so he's pulling him to the ring.
Oh, Japan's crazy.
Yeah, that was good stuff. This match was fine. It was all right. There was a bit of
Yeah.
cheating at the end. The guy who was helping who cheated Carino to cheat on the finish was Shimada, who
Okay.
I think you might recognize him from Pride, but he's the booker.
Okay, yeah, I probably would have seen him. Yeah, he didn't he looked a little bit familiar. Not as like much as some of the other fighters and stuff,
He's
but yeah.
probably somewhere else on the show. I think he might have been a heel referee at some point on this show. He's
Yeah,
kind of all over the place.
he was definitely about. He floated about on this one. I remember seeing his face a few times. He had like the neck brace, right, or something. Yeah.
He basically gets injured on every show. So he's always got like a load of injuries. I think this might be the one where he gets magically healed. I
Okay.
can't remember. So the next match was brought about by the evil clowns, Devil Piroth, kidnapping somebody who I refer to as Japanese Shauna of the Grinch because I don't actually know what her name is, but she has that same kind of booing energy.
I wrote down infomercial bit where they just take a woman and put them on their shoulder. It was kind of mad. Because I obviously with the little like in betweens of like where they're speaking Japanese and what, like you just have to see it happen.
You just
So
basically make your own stories up, don't you?
yeah, it felt like they was doing what was like one of those sort of infomercial type adverts that you see, and then next thing you know, it turned into them just taking this woman. I was like, okay, the match is starting now. And those clowns were that, yeah, they were creepy as fuck, I can't lie. They had some horrifying like masks. I rated it.
The idea behind the match is that so Hustle Kamen, those guys are based on Kamen Rider, the one of, it's a Japanese show, isn't it, about a like a superhero rides a motorbike. But
Okay.
the idea is they are having to overcome the evil of these monsters to rescue the girl. It's basically a TV show in a match.
See, that's what I was saying with this. Like, I didn't know that, but there was definitely something about Hustle that I like felt a bit ahead of its time in the sense of like when I said like Lucha Underground and stuff. Like they were sort of down that lane. Like it was very early, very like unevolved, but like there was stuff about it that I felt was something
They weren't
different.
afraid to experiment.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it's sort of like they tried to make the whole show like one story, even though there was different things going on.
There's always that kind of monster army versus hustle baby
Yeah.
faces thing seems to be the backbone for everything.
I
I
liked
thought
it.
the
It was like really
match.
colourful. Like there's so much colours going on in this match.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense to anyone, but I quite liked that as a visual.
I thought the match was really good.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite ones. I think I said that. They were good. There was a story to it. Like you kind of forget that there was like a woman involved again because they would just go in. But yeah, I enjoyed this one. There were so many cool moves and stuff. And again, flying about. Like, sometimes they'll just, like, notice there's one of them would just go, and you're like, fuck, where'd that happen? But, yeah.
They did a lot of flying in the opener, but there was even more in this, because they went full-on luchadors.
Yeah. I remember, I know that I wrote this on purpose, but I was like, these clowns are fucking mad. And I know, they were going off. I really liked them. I want to watch them again. I can't lie.
Well, this is basically a rematch of a match that they had on that show that I mentioned, the Hustle House Volume 2.
Oh, the one that you said is on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that. I enjoyed these guys.
Well, this one is weird because this is the second one, and this one is the one where they make a load of mistakes. You'd think it'd be the other way around, but like the first match they had is much better. It's like, it's really clean. There's probably less like wacky dives and stuff, but it's it's a better put together match. So this has probably bigger high spots but more mistakes, and then the other match is like a better.
Oh yeah, so the balance sort of shifted on each. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I don't know if they tried to go bigger because it's a bigger show, but it didn't quite click.
It felt like they were trying to do a lot of big things. I know what you mean. Like, it did feel like that they were trying to. They sort of had that middle sort of ground of a spot, like in the card, where they were just trying to do everything they could. I didn't mind it. I get that. There's something with me, like, with, I don't mind mistakes in wrestling when it's sort of like what would happen. Like, if that makes, like, someone goes to lift you up and you kind of like stumble a bit, I don't always give them like more ratings for it, but because it happened in, like, on the top rope or something, I'm like, well, yeah, that kind of can happen. Like, that wasn't so much a mistake in the sense of, like, they didn't want it to happen, so that's fine, and I get that, but I don't mind it sort of feeling a bit real, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that does make sense, but it's, I've always thought it's more how they deal with it rather than the mistake itself. So if you make a mistake in a match, you shouldn't just stand back up and go, well, we're going to have to do that again.
that's right. You sort of break the illusion a little bit there.
So I've far too many times where they just, it's like, it's a couple of elbows and then they're back into position and they go and try and do the same thing again. And
just move on. And
fuck it up again.
Because they're already in their own head now. Like, just move on. Just do something else.
If the spot is not that important, just carry on.
And I wrote the Power Rangers were getting battered. So. That was one of my notes. The Power Rangers are getting battered. They were for a second there. I was like, I remember thinking, are they getting any offense in here? But then obviously they got back into it.
Yeah, one of the Hustle Cayman lads is Sugi, who you may know from 01.
I'm not sure.
He is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, one of the spots that he basically inserts into every single match is where he walks across the top turn from the turnbuckle to a guy that's like stuck on the top rope at the other end, and then like runners him off.
Oh, okay, I can picture that.
It's not a walk. He basically runs across the top rope. Oh, he's not holding on to anything. Man. He just does it. And he does it all the time, so it's not like a one-off spot. It's literally something he puts in every match. So
that's lunatic, man. That's so dangerous to do that all the time and not even save it up as well. Fair play to him.
Yeah, I'm a big Sugi fan. He's nuts. He would be a much bigger star in the business if he hadn't have planted drugs on someone in Mexico and tried to get them arrested.
Christ's sakes.
That was... Who was it? I think it was Io Shirai and somebody else. He has a bit of a bad reputation because of that. If it wasn't for that, I think he'd be a household name because he's a stunning professional wrestler.
Yeah, everyone in this match I felt was really good, so I'm not sure who's who, because obviously
he was red.
But I did enjoy it. Okay, yeah.
He was red. Blue was Rasa, I think. And the Piros, I'm not sure, but they're luchadors.
Okay, yeah, they definitely had that vibe to them. They were there. There was a lot of, like, moves exchanged, like, off the top turnbuckles and stuff, which I thought was quite cool.
So, let's move on. The next match after this was Giant Silver against Greg Sasko.
Okay, right, yeah. Giant Silver, and I've got this right. My memories of him in Pride were my memories of him were in Pride and him in the background in Beyond the Mat in Vince's office. That's literally all I really remember. He was just floating about.
Yeah, he started off in the oddities, and they didn't know what to do with him because he's 7'3".
Yeah, he sucks, man. I'm sorry. He, fair play. Like, he's going. He's super massive, but I can't be dealing with it.
But this is great because, like, they had him at 7'3". Sasuke's like 5'9", which is actually quite tall for somebody who you think of as a flyer in Japan, as one of those smaller, crazy flippy dudes.
It's strange. He didn't look like, obviously anyone looks smaller to Giant Silver, but he didn't look like the ref and like other people. He was towering over everyone else. He was obviously towering over everyone else, but yeah, Sasuke didn't look like the smallest guy ever. So yeah, I get what you mean.
So this match had a sequence in it where, well, a couple of sequences where I was just losing my mind, completely losing my mind. So there's a spot where I don't even know if this is intentional, but Sasuke does the acai moonsault.
Oh, I've written it down as
that Silver was so rank. Is not there.
Oh, it was so bad, bro. Oh, mate, I'm holding my head now thinking about it. It was rough, so rough.
And I don't know what happened here. Surely that wasn't intentional. Because, like, he basically does an acai moonsault straight into the guardrail because...
And it was, like, leg first. Legs first, it was even, like, you know, like, when they sort of hit their midsection, I'm not saying it's better, but, like, your body kind of bends that way. So, it was just all sort of knee and shin and thigh. It was rough. So rough.
But, like, Silver, I don't know if he was supposed to catch him and he just wasn't in position.
Just opted out of it.
Or whether that was the intended spot, but he just overshot it and hit the... I don't know, but it just...
He definitely wasn't in the right place, regardless of what happened. He shouldn't have been there. Either he should have been in the way to block it, or he should have been, like... He should have done something else. But, yeah, he was gone. It was rough. And then he went back to the second rope again, which is... And went through the table. And, fair play to him for doing a bump like that, being that big. But, oh, man...
Spot was weird because they set it up with, like, Sasuke just randomly took a bump and, like, fell backwards and was on the table.
Yeah, yeah, and it was very,
I can't
very,
help
like,
think
game.
Something went wrong.
It was like an old game, like, you just sort of, you hit them once and they just placed themselves on the table, yeah. But, yeah, it wasn't my favourite match on the card, I'll be honest, but there was a couple moments that were nuts, like, that flip, ugh. Yeah. That stood out more than anything.
And then Jinsei Shinzaki, the former Hakushi from the World Wrestling Federation, came out.
Yes, Hakushi. I wrote that down too. He had that thing with Brett where he had his head right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've always remembered him because of that.
In my notes, I've put, you can't rate this on the conventional scale. Is this the greatest match of all time? Which,
fire.
You know, in retrospect, probably not. But he did an acai moonsault straight into the guardrail and Silver just kind of strolled off.
it's worth watching just for that, but also, like, not in a good way. Like, it's rough, but it will make you go, oh. I can lose a bit of air, so.
Yeah, I gasped.
For sure. And then after that's the guy singing in the phone.
Yeah,
that I
so he sent me a message about that, and I'm like, all right, I'll tell you about him later. And it's grim.
Oh, here we go.
So that's Joe-sun.
Joe-sun.
He was...
Oh, wait, that name sounds familiar now.
Yeah, it will do soon. So he was... in MMA.
I know exactly who he is here. Yeah, yeah, he was terrible.
Do you remember
oh
him
my
fighting
Lord.
Keith Hackney and he got punched in the groin a lot at
UFC? That's him. There used to be an MMA YouTube channel when I was younger called Iron Forges Iron, right? And they were like, when YouTube was still sort of like 10 minutes or whatever, and they were all sort of... You remember that old, like, format of writing on YouTube videos that was sort of, like, plain background that was sort of, like, light blue and then just writing on it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were all sort of like that at first, but they had... it was one of the... it's annoying. I think whoever that guy is now, like, should we have one of the big accounts, like how, like, say, your What Culture type thing would have an account for just telling facts and whatever you want to call them. Like, that guy's channel was amazing, but because it was back then, I think it got, like blocked or whatever because of rights and everything. But he wasn't showing fights. It was all sort of how they do it now, but just, like, ahead of its time. And he did, like, a whole thing where it was, like, people that are in MMA that are wrongins or whatever. And he did a whole episode about him. And I've only just remembered that now you said his name, because I blanked that out for about 10 years. But, yeah, I don't remember any of the stories. I just know they were all horrible.
Yeah.
Like, really horrible. Well,
he kind of got a little bit famous. He was in Austin Powers. So he was like the odd job knockoff random task.
Yeah.
He was in a couple of other movies, but what? Yeah. So here's the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he got arrested in 2008, and as part of his arrest, he had to give a DNA sample. He got arrested for vandalizing something, I think.
It wasn't
something major. And the DNA that he gave linked him to a gang rape from 1990.
Yeah, I was going to say it was from a while back. It was like years and years. Yeah, awful.
And he basically got convicted because it was... I can't remember what it was. He got convicted for torture or something. There was like a statute of limitations on the actual like rape part of it. And he got sent to jail. Well, he was already in jail. But he got given a lengthy
sentence.
I think it wasn't that long. I think it was 7 years. Yeah, 7 years. 7 years, 7 years to life, whatever that means.
Yeah, there was so many, like, I remember thinking, like this story's going to end, but there was more stuff to it.
So, like, he was put in a sex offender prison, basically, and his roommate was Michael Thomas Graham, who was a paedophile, and he killed him.
Yeah.
So... he ended up getting 27 years for murdering somebody in prison. So, yeah, he's not coming out again.
So, yeah, if you're watching Hustle 5 and you see a guy singing in a thong, maybe just skip that
bit.
Just skip
it.
Yeah, but no, it's mad. I think if I hadn't skipped it, I probably would have recognized his face a bit more. But as soon as you said it, it all kind of, like, came back. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is bad. He was like the manager of Chemo or something when like UFC first started.
I think it was. And, UFC one?
It was either one or two, but yeah, it was definitely the beginning there. And yeah, he's been about forever, and yeah, his story is whatever you want to call it, but it's awful.
Yeah, let's move on.
And then they did like a music video, I think, which I remember just writing for fuck's sakes because it was so nuts. But that was all I have for that.
Really enjoyed the music video.
It was just so wild to me.
Okagawa was the principal star of this, but like he can't sing.
No.
But he was quite happily doing like a big music video with all these like kids and other wrestlers around him as they were like marching through the streets. it was good stuff. It's good content.
And he's wearing like the mask.
He's got like the Mr. America mask on the whole time, and I don't know what it was supposed to be, but
the Mr. America stuff is hilarious thinking about it now in retrospect. It was funny at the time, but it's funnier now. Like, they just was absolutely ripping the piss out of Hogan being that guy. It's gold.
So, yeah, I enjoyed that. That was very nice. Then, because, like, there must be, like, a running theme here, because before the next match, there was... So, Kintaro Kanemura, who was the guy who was doing the dancing at the start of the next match, every time he's wrestled on this, he's come out to come out and play by the Offspring, and he's done this little dance, but he's always been on his own. And for this one, it was like they had like Masato Tanaka, Wataru Sakata, his tag team partners, and like a bunch of dancing girls. They've just it's become like a whole thing for him. He's like the guy that dances to Offspring there.
Yeah, this one has super crazy Psycho the Death or something, and Piranha Monster Zed.
Yes,
I was like, wow, okay.
This is Piranha Monster Zed 2. Piranha Monster Zed, the original one, was so bad that they didn't use him again, but they've recycled the costume and used it on somebody else.
Okay, all right, that's brilliant. Yeah, this match was kind of wild, to be fair. A lot went on.
Yeah, every Hustle show seems to have like one hardcore rules match.
Yeah. It's weird. I my personally, I'm sure there's loads, but just because like I've probably not seen nearly as much Japanese wrestling as other people, but I've never really noticed hardcore sort of stuff happening in Japan. I'm sure they have. I've seen tables and the odd chair, but overall, like this was like a proper hardcore match. This felt like a hardcore match you'd see in like WWF in the 90s, like where
Yeah,
they
well,
have
pretty
a bit
much
of everything.
all of that came, all of the WWF hardcore stuff came from ECW, and all of ECW's hardcore stuff came from FMW.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
So
Makes sense.
FMW was like a Japanese hardcore promotion. It wasn't.
See, that's yeah. Let me just explain. Yeah, I know about it from like Funk and like Cactus and stuff like that back in the day, but I never sort of seen it like this, if that makes any sense. Like I remember like there being like super sort of like deathmatch stuff, but not this. Just felt like very like WWF like '99.
So FMW was kind of a mixture. So some of it was like this, and some of it was more brutal with like barbed wire and like
Of course.
exploding rings and stuff. So there were kind of degrees of violence, and because Hustle have chosen to do the mocking WWF route,
Yeah.
that's what they've gone for here. It's like,
Yeah,
here's
definitely.
some random hardcore stuff.
Yeah, it just had that about it. It was very much like something you'd see like with like Taz and Sandman in it, but in WWF, not so much in ECW.
Yeah, they've
I
got
don't
this
know why.
weird. They had a match before where there was like a countdown and weapons appeared, and they do
Okay.
that at the start of this match. There's like some weapons appear because they do the Thunderbirds music, the five.
Yeah, so I wrote that down. I was like, there was some countdown, and I
Yeah.
really couldn't work out what it was for.
I don't know
It just
because
sort of
like they
happened.
did a match before where there was a countdown and I can't remember what happened, but there was three different weapons. The middle one was a bicycle, and the third one was giant silver.
Right, I'm
But
so glad that it wasn't me not paying attention because I was like, where'd that come from?
yeah,
I
this
thought maybe I'd miss
I
something.
don't know. They did like it happened once in this match, and that was it.
Yeah,
And I
and it was
don't.
at a super random place. It was like a few minutes in. It wasn't right at the
Yeah.
beginning, it wasn't right at the end. It was
No.
sort of like, and it wasn't even in the middle. It was just a weird timing for it. So yeah, it was definitely some kind of mistake,
I don't know. I don't really know what
I
happened there, but that's the beauty of
If
Hustle
anyone
is
does know, let us know.
let's just go with the flow on that one.
For sure. They did, they put the piranha for a table at the beginning, but then they did it again later on and it was
Oh, he
mad.
died. He just,
Yeah,
oh.
it was so mad. The first one was merely like an appetizer because that first one was nothing. I could have done that first one looking at it compared to how mad that next one was. He got mullered.
Well, it was
It was
stacked
great.
tables, wasn't it? They stacked two
Yeah,
tables, which if you're a
just
wrestler and
slung
you're
it.
listening to this, don't do that.
Yeah, it's just there's no need anymore. It might be a madness for me to watch, but honestly, you don't need it for
Because
your
that
life.
top table, when you land on it, it had better break, and it had better break clean, otherwise you are fucked.
Yeah, because you're hitting that next one for real. Like, if you're not hitting the first one and going through it clean, the next one's gonna be rough. Yeah, he got mullered. They slung him like, was it over the top?
Yeah,
Like
it was over
just.
it was a power bomb over the top rope through two tables, only that the
Yeah.
top table didn't break clean, so he ended up, I think he landed on his head.
Yeah. Nuts.
So now we're going to need another Piranha Monster Zed because that one's dead. So
Yeah,
the
he's
first one was
gone.
rubbish.
R.I.P.
Got
him.
rid of him. Second one is dead.
The second one, they gave no ratings. They was just like, we're battering him. And fair enough. They had something where, I don't know if you noticed this bit, but I remember thinking it was shit. Someone on production or whatever messed up because they put a bin over someone's head and then went to swing a baseball bat at it. And then cut away, and you just hear the noise. And I was like, "What is this? What's happening here?" I was meant to watch that bit, and I didn't. It was terrible. It was the worst part of that was just like they just cut away. It was like how they cut away on like Raw now from like a really terrible
Or
like
did you
shot.
watch World of Sport when it was on ITV, the racing one?
I know where it is, but I barely saw it, to be honest with you.
Basically, they had to run everything past lawyers, and they're like, you can't really show people being hit with stuff. And it's like, it's already been recorded. So when anything happens like that, they cut to the crowd. So they'd be like, say your guy's in a bin and he's about to get smacked. Guarantee you they're cutting to the crowd.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, if anyone sees it, it was like the most perfect like a moment, like swinging this bat to hit the bin, and literally like you just hear it like because it cuts that quick. I was like, no, like I wanted to see that bit. I was like, how badly did he hit him? It sounded bad. I don't know, but yeah,
you can only really tell how dented the bin is afterwards. Really, that's it.
I wrote there, whoever covered that was a prick. That was about it. that was mad. The over the top Piranha Zed was mad. And then it was like, what's going on? They had a ladder. Then they had a guitar from the top rope. It was all nuts.
Actually, you haven't made a note of who won, so I don't know.
Oh, I do. I have Psycho the Death gets the pin. And then I wrote, this match really got won with a roll up.
Yeah,
that was the one bit that was super weird. Any of the moments where someone got murdered in this match could have got pinned, but instead they did a roll up. I didn't understand that one bit. That's the only bit that took it from me, because other than that, it was quite fun.
It seems to happen all the time in Japanese deathmatch wrestling that the finish is just something nothing. You know, it's just they'll kill each other for 20 minutes and then it's like, oh yeah, the finish is a roll up.
That's one of the first times I think I've watched a match and gone, nah, come on. Like, because I don't usually care, like, that much with oh, they took a DDT earlier, so they should have lost. Like, but this, it was like, come on, they went all out. Like, they were battering each other. Please, just one of them moves could have won it. I don't know. But yeah,
it could also be they're just taking the piss out of WWE because they do this all the time.
Yeah, see, that's another thing. I didn't even take that into account. Maybe even that headshot was taking the piss. Maybe it was like, let's do the cutaway on purpose. Yeah, maybe it's just all one big muggage and I'm getting suckered in. But yeah, either way, it was a wild match. If you're into sort of hardcore stuff from like the 90s, I'd watch it. It's quite fun.
Yeah, I'm Masato Tanaka though. He's so good, like all the time. So he was in ECW like 21 years ago. And
he's been about, right?
He's been great the whole time, like all the way from then right until now. He's just great.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Piranha bit was towards the end. That was mad. Yeah, that's what I've got all of that now.
Yeah.
And then obviously next was, I'll let you do it.
Well, did you watch the press conference bit? So they had a bit with Hustle Rikishi.
I didn't really pay attention to the press conference bit because I knew the match was coming. So I was just sort of waiting for the match. But yeah, they did do a press conference bit.
Yeah, he's turned up as like, he said his mate Shinya Hashimoto rang him and said like, can you come and help or something? Oh no, it might even have been Ricky Choshu because that's who he's tagging with.
Yeah,
but he has to take care of business for Ricky Choshu, and it's like, when have you ever hung out with Ricky Choshu?
Just been when boys was this? Forever.
And in order to retort to this. Generalissimo Takada decides that he's going to turn Yoji Anjo into a savage islander with his magic powers. And
okay, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, okay. So Anjo is tagging with Dan Bobish in the main event, but like he's not like wrestling the same as usual because he's wrestling as on Cage Match it says Oyajigari.
Yeah, I've written that. That was the name I wrote down. Yeah, Jigari.
I actually had to message Strigger and say, look, that's not whatever that says. It's Yoji Danjo in.
Okay.
With like tiki costume on.
Okay, yeah, I wouldn't have known that. All right.
I described what happened to him and he replied with, wow. So, yeah, wrestling.
They came out to DMX. I just had to write that down. They came out to DMX, which was great. That was pretty good. That's a rapper from back in the day. But, Dan Bobish, I remember him from Pride. He's been about. And then, yeah, this just sort of had this, like, especially the beginning bit. It was one of them, like, big old units are going to be big old units. And, like, That was quite. They were flying about for a second. Like there was the speed of like Rikishi and Bobish and that early on was like, rah, they can actually move. And obviously, it slowed down.
Yeah, they're it big, slowed but down pretty quick.
For a couple minutes there, it was rapid. And Rikishi was seen to just be loving life in Japan. Like he was all visual, like all facials, like to the crowd and whatnot.
Based on the amount of money that Kevin Nash said he got for his appearance, mm-hmm. I imagine he was well paid for this.
Well, okay, yeah, for sure. He just seemed super happy to be there. So he must have got a serious bit of dough.
Yeah, he got mucho yen for this. So like, like he was thrilled.
Defo.
Yeah, I'd say the match wasn't particularly good. They did. Is this the one they did the heel referee thing in? No, it was the main event, sorry.
Okay.
So Shimada was out there at the end because apparently, I guess, Danjo and Bobish didn't want to take the stink face.
Yeah.
So Shimada took that.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
The whole rib with Riki Choshu is that he basically takes everything really seriously. Mm-hmm. And that's the joke. Like, okay. this promotion is not even remotely serious at all. But nobody's told Riki Choshu. So he thinks it's, like, really important. And he's going out there giving it his best. And, like, everyone's just laughing.
I like that he brought out Red and Blue to do the, like, dance with him and whatnot at the end.
Yeah, that's because, honestly, though, I would have loved to have seen Riki Choshu do the
dance. Yeah. That would have been cool. But yeah, it wasn't long enough to be mad at, but it wasn't like the most amazing like match or anything.
That is the best thing about watching Hustle is like all of the matches are like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think there was one that I remember feeling like this is long now. Like it was all pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have a look, see what the longest match was. It was the hardcore match. It was 11:40.
Oh, well, yeah, there's even more reason for people to watch that then, because it was super quick. I didn't even realise it was that quick.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, they all are. That's the best thing about Hustle, is they don't have these long, dragged-out matches, because they know that they're probably not going to be great if they are, so they might as well just get it done in like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, defo. So, the last match, right, I'll let you in, if you want to introduce it.
Yeah, do you want to explain what's going on here? Because
you go for it.
Ogawa has taken to having a superhero alter ego, which he refers to as Judo-O.
It took me, like, 3 minutes to recognize that they called him Judo-O, and I was like, bastard, why didn't I catch that straight away? I should have noticed straight away. I guess I was just so caught up with everything else going on that I missed like the most blatant one in front of me. I did laugh though. Judo, so silly.
Judo, yeah. So Ogawa has faced various opponents in the main events of these shows, and quite often he gets overwhelmed by it. So he actually lost to a guy called Matt Gaffari, who looked horribly out of shape.
Okay.
But here he's able to overcome it because he's a superhero. So that's basically the story. But Russian 54.
The guy's name, yeah, Russian 54.
Russian 54 is the only person with Russian in his name that's ever worked for this company. It's a guy called Jack Bull he's from Florida.
Amazing. Even more. Okay.
I don't really know why Floridian. He's there, but again, he just. Been with WWE a little bit. His WWE gimmick was Greg Gruthius.
Wow. So I didn't think you could get worse than being Russian 54. So
Russian 54, Greg Gruthius. So after this, he actually got properly signed by them and went to Ohio Valley.
Oh shit. Okay.
So that's basically the end of his Hustle career. I think I don't think he wrestled there again. I'm just gonna check. Make sure I'm not chatting shit. Oh no, he actually wrestled 5 times.
They did the ref like slow counting the pins and stuff right at the beginning of this. Yeah.
That was Shimada is basically back again. This time he's got a mask on, so you can't tell it's him, even though it's blatantly him.
Mm-hmm.
And then shockingly, when his mask is removed, it's Shimada.
And then the whole gaff just started jumping him. Just everyone just started jumping Judo. They didn't give him no rate. As soon as he won, they were on him.
Yeah, that's basically how every show ends. It's usually.
I did have one point. I wrote, I'm not sure about them having their arms up like that at the end. It was a bit of a wild one for a second there. Thankfully, it didn't last long, but I was like, oh, no, don't do that, lads. It's bad enough. You've got a dictator anyway, as the role. Maybe yeah. Just don't do that other bit.
Yeah. So at the end of the shows, it's always the Monster Army beats up whoever's in the ring, and then Takada just talks for 10 minutes. And he usually introduces a new member to mm-hmm. like the Monster Army. Once it was Takayama, and they introduced him as being like, here's Takayama, Monster Army, he comes out with a cowboy hat on, and he's never wrestled. they just introduced him. So I thought it was going to be like a running gag where they introduced people and then they never wrestled.
Yeah.
Because they did the same thing with Shinzaki.
That is actually quite a good bit. I think someone should do that now. Like just bring in the biggest stars they can, or like, and by biggest I mean like on some like D list level, like in a, like, and just never have them do anything. Just bring them out for like a second. Like here's, I don't know, Ali G is this like actually the character, and then he doesn't wrestle. He's in the team though. Next. But yeah, my final thought of it all was like the show was wild and I understood about 20% of it, but I didn't mind that. It was great. It was a laugh to have like I had nothing to go off of. It just happened in front of me, and there was enough of it to like that. Like the tag match with the Devil Pyroff guys and the hardcore match, they were fun. Enjoyed them.
So normally what I would do at this point would be to run a keel through what is happening on the next show, because like mm-hmm. we basically are not looking at these cards beforehand. The next two shows are Hustle House Volume 3, which is from October 2004.
And how is it free if this was 5? Am I mad?
Oh, no, that's Hustle House Volume 3. So, like, Hustle House is, like, the Corican Hall shows they do in between.
Oh, okay, apologies, my bad.
And then, the big shows are numbered. So it's, like, I can't even remember Progress when they had, like, the chapter shows, but then they had,
I get what you mean, yeah.
So there's the Hustle House Volume 3 is from October, and then 2 days after that is Hustle 6.
Okay.
So I'm going to run through the Hustle 6 card. We're just going to kind of give our thoughts on that. So the opener for it is Kaz Hayashi and Spanky as a surprise against.
Oh no, they tried it again.
Super Crazy and the Amazing Red.
Okay, that sounds like it'd be good.
Every time they put on one of these openers, I'm like, that sounds good.
Yeah, I ain't mad at that at all.
We've got Katsuhisa Fuji and Mr. USA, which is Ryan Wilson.
Okay.
Ryan Wilson was in WWE after this as Jacob Duncan.
Does not ring a bell.
No, I don't think he actually got to wrestle on any of them.
Okay.
On any of the big shows, but he was under contract for. This is a running theme as well. Anyone who they bring in as a joke from America ends up under contract with WWE.
So this sounds like the most wind up place ever. I'm starting to love it just because they're pranking everyone.
So it's them two, and they're wrestling against Russian 54, who's gone down from the main event to the second on the card. He's tagging with Piranha Monster XX.
Oh my lord! I'm in.
So they've given up on.
So he did die.
They've given up on Zed. Zed's dead.
Zed did die. Yeah. So we got XX. All right, cool.
And they're going. Yeah, he's. XX has replaced him.
An X for each of the former characters.
Yes. Brilliant. Then there's a tag team match with El Hatena, Uno, and Dos, which is Rey Bucanero and Liz Mark Jr.
I do pop for 1 and 2. I don't know why, but that's getting me.
But yeah, so that's two moderately famous luchadors. And they're tagging against some of the Hustle Cayman lads. So it's now Hustle Cayman Gold and Hustle Cayman Silver.
Oh, mate, yeah, I'm all over this. This is starting to sound brilliant.
Russell Kamen Gold is a fairly well-known luchador, and by fairly well-known, I mean he's held the WWE title.
No way. That's got to be Del Rio, then,
it
mate.
Is Del Rio. And he's tagging with Hustle Kamen Silver, which is Psychedelico Jr.
Okay.
Who where did he wrestle that you would know? I thought he'd wrestled somewhere famous. He hasn't.
All right, no dramas.
Yeah, so he's quite famous in Mexico. He's wrestled for CMLL and AAA. But yeah, that's about it. I've seen him wrestle loads. So that should be fun. Del Rio in a mask and like some. Del Rio's been on one of these shows before, I think, and he was shit.
Okay.
there's a hardcore six-man tag again.
This is sounding like a better show already. Not gonna lie.
So Kanemura, Masato Tanaka, and Tetsuhiro Kuroda, so all FMW boys against Chunk Asai, Tomoaki Honma, and Tomohiro Ishii.
Oh yeah, I'm all over this. This is sounding fire.
after that is a three-way with Mark Coleman, Dan Bobish, and Giant Silver, which is weird.
Oh, that's going to be awful. Love it.
They're all in the same stable, so I don't quite know what's going on there.
That sounds so bad. I can't wait to see that.
Wataru Sakata against Anjo in a hair versus hair match.
Can't ever go wrong with hair versus
honestly,
hair matches.
Sakata has like very little hair, and Anjo is basically bald, so I don't...
I think this is even better.
that's a real...
That's a wind-up. That's gold. All right. Yeah, this card is hilarious. I'm so glad that I have like prior knowledge now, because I probably wouldn't have found this as funny, but now I've got... Yeah, this is brilliant.
The semi-main event is Riki Choshu and Toshiaki Kawada against Monster C, obviously continuing that Kawada-Carino feud, and Monsieur de Barbarossa. You've kind of missed out on him. But he's basically, he used to be a guy called Jason the Legend, and Jason the Legend, the character died, so Generalissimo Takada brought him back as Monsieur de Barbarossa, and he's basically just a guy in a mask, and he's supposed to be like Jason.
Like, thing of like, yeah, bring, yeah, the, okay, more wrestling. Companies, please make up bullshit storylines like this. I want people losing 1, 2, 3 and then being like, all right, well, he's dead now, so next week he's a zombie.
Yeah,
it's got to happen.
Yeah, he is more based on Jason from, which one's Jason? Is he Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th.
So he was Jason the Legend, and now instead of like calling him Jason and like having like the like a proper Jason gimmick, they just called him Monsieur de Barbarossa instead.
I like that they...
He's supposed to be a zombie pirate based on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, this is brilliant. I like that, I guess it's probably a Japanese thing, but I like that they've got the in between a lot of names, like Psycho the Death and stuff. I don't know why, it's quite funny.
Odd. And the main event is Naoya Ogawa, and he is wrestling against Tiger Jeet Singh.
Okay.
Tiger Jeet Singh, I don't know how much you've seen of him, because, frankly, the man's ancient. Before this, he came out of retirement for Hustle. He'd been in retirement for 7 years.
Okay.
He was garbage when he retired. Hustle, out of nowhere, brought him back. He basically wrestles like 3 times. He was brought back to wrestle Zebra Man because Zebra Man wanted to fight a tiger.
Oh my god.
And they ended up with Tiger Jeet. So that was on Hustle 3. And I thought they were going to stop using him, but they brought him back again for the main event.
And they put him in the main event.
Of course they have. After this, he basically goes back into retirement until he's brought back again by Hustle in 2007.
Wow, I'm all over this show. I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited to watch this at some point in the future. If you want me to do the next one, I will. But if not, just let me watch it anyway.
Yeah. So that's that one, and I'm gonna quickly run through the Hustle House Volume 3 card. So the opener on that one. Oh, it's Spanky, but he's tagging with Ikuto Hidaka, so he's not actually tagging with his mate. I don't know.
He must not have been there.
Kaz, he's not there by the looks of it. They're tagging against Amazing Red and Super Virus, which is super crazy.
maybe just getting them like some minutes in so for the main show, right? Like,
yeah, it looks that way. Second match is Monsieur de Barbarossa and Russian 54 against Mr. USA and Steve Corino, who apparently is just not wearing a mask for that match.
Just Steve Corino.
I think Steve Corino is a baby face, but like when he's got a hood on as Monster C, he's a heel.
Okay.
The old Hustle came in silver and gold against Uno and Dos, the El Hatena brothers. That's basically the same match as it is on six, so they're basically getting them ready for it. There's a six-man with Kanemura, Tanaka and Kuroda against Dan Bobbish, Giant Silver and Mark Coleman. So I'm thinking they have some kind of disagreement, which leads to that three-way.
Yeah, and it also feels like they're just sort of getting them all out before the main show. I know that's how it works anyway, but...
Getting the reps in, getting them ready. And the main event is Tigerjeet Singh and Anjo against Shimoji Fuji and Wataru Sakata. That's going to be garbage. It's 3.5 minutes long, though, so it'll be fine. Glad you enjoyed Hustle.
I'm very, very, very happy that you brought me in on this, because this has been brilliant. I'm not gonna lie, I had no clue, and I still kind of don't, but it has been enjoyable.
The only reason I have more of a clue as to what's going on is because I watched like Hustle 1-4,
yeah, which for sure. I mean, I already feel like I know more when you read out the next cards, so. I'm sure by the next one I'll be a little bit more invested too.
Speed.
Yeah. But yeah, I've enjoyed this. It was a good laugh.
Yeah. No, it's been great having you on. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. And like I said before, like I've wanted to have like a chat with you for a while.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear your voice, mate.
Yeah, you too, man. Honestly, it's always love. I appreciate you having me. And if we want to do something else other than Hustle, we can do another one. Anytime, I'm always about.
That'd be great.